Acts chapter 20 this morning. Start reading verse number 16. Acts chapter 20, verse number 16. The Bible says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying way of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, save that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The Bible says in verse number 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take ye therefore yourselves unto the flock and all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have come to no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship." Acts chapter 20, verse 16 through 38. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege you give us this morning to be in your house. I thank you, Father, for the songs we've heard this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the great promise of the Word of God that there is a day coming, Lord, that you send the Jesus Christ, Father, you send to come to this world and rapture the church out, Lord, and bless the day that's going to be. That is, Father, our blessed hope, and we have a long evening, Father, to go home. I thank you, Father, for those songs, and Lord, I'm thankful today that you are God on the mountain as well as the God in the valley. Father, there's many times we're in the valley. I'm glad, thank God, that you're still the God of our valleys and the God of our mountaintops, and you see us through, and you encourage us, and you guard us, and you guide us. And Lord, we're thankful for that day, this homecoming Sunday at Midway Baptist Church since 1951. There's been men here preaching in this pulpit the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance toward God. And I pray, God, you help us to keep on keeping on until Jesus comes. To stand on the word of truth and preach truth from this pulpit. I pray, God, today you'd open up the hearts of understanding of every individual in this place. There's some here today discouraged. There's some that's been fighting some battles. Lord, there's some here that's weary and well doing. And I pray, God, you'd speak to every heart. I pray, God, you'd use me, the messenger, Lord, to bring about the word that you have me to say. And guard these lips of clay. Help me to say all of that that's well pleasing in your sight. I pray, God, this is a great day of reckoning, Father. I pray, Lord, this is the day of salvation. You said in your word, today is a good day, Father. If anyone in the sound of my voice does not know Jesus Christ as Lord of their life and Savior of their soul, Father, may today be that day they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And Father, I pray they'll serve you and live with you and give their life to you. And Father, today will be that great day in their life. Today is the day, Father, I pray, Lord, you speak to their hearts. Have your way now, all that's said and done. In Jesus' living name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. As we're looking at Acts chapter number 20, I was meditating on this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul. And the Bible has a few things to say. We're going to go into all the details, especially the latter part where they all fell upon the kiss when they were sorrowful for the words that he said that they would not see him again. But I want to focus on some of the things that he said in this passage of Scripture. He said that Paul, verse number 16, had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Ephesus, for he hasted that it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Now, he had an agenda. He had somewhere to be. He wanted to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He wanted to be there. But he wanted to go by Ephesus on the way. And the reason why he wanted to go by Ephesus is because he had some people on his heart. Amen. They had something on his mind. He said, listen, we can run by there for just a little bit. It won't take long. There's something I need to say to them to encourage them as they continue to serve the Lord. And so I was focusing on that a little bit this morning. And Paul's message to those people when he arrived at Ephesus, and he began to encourage them in the things of the Lord. And those of you who would, I'm going to try to hurry this morning, but not really quickly. I know the food is waiting and I don't want it to get too cold, but anyway, I want us to get what God has for us before we worry about what man has for us. Amen. And so I want to try to share with you just a few thoughts quickly. Look at verse number 21. He says that he testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's message has been from the very beginning to preach the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, amen, and repentance toward God. Everybody's ever been born, amen, and needs to understand that we are born sinners, amen. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Paul's day, he was given the mystery, the enlightenment of the understanding, if you will, of the mystery of the church. And Paul's job, his ministry was to go out from place to place and to share the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ came to this world. Amen. He came born of a virgin, and he came for a reason and a purpose. And that purpose was to die on the cross of Calvary, to save us sin death for every man, boy, and girl, and woman, and everybody that's ever lived. Jesus Christ came to pay that debt. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul, he's going about to preach that message that not only did he die on the cross of Calvary, but already cross where he shed his blood, but he rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave 3 days later. Amen. Victorious, he brought the keys of hell with him. And listen, the devil had no hold on him. Hallelujah. And the hell had no hold on him. He came back with the keys. And he said, listen, I now have the power over heaven and hell, and all of earth shall surrender unto me, because I'm King of kings and Lord of lords. He was victorious over sin, paid my debt, paid your debt, paid everybody's debt for sin. And the Apostle Paul's job was to go about from place to place and spread the good news. Hey, have you heard the news? Jesus Christ, he is Emmanuel, God with us, and came, has served his time on this earth, give us the good news, and he went and paid the penalty. He shed his blood for you and I, and made us see that we wouldn't have to pay that. What must I do to be saved? They said to Nicodemus, hey, what must I do? I heard about this Jesus.
Amen.
What must I do to be saved? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. Amen. Paul went about preaching that message, repentance toward God, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in him. And I'm going to say, as he's going about that, he says to these people, as he comes to Ephesus, he says, and now, behold, I go down in the Spirit to Jerusalem. I have to be there, not knowing the things that befall me there. The Apostle Paul didn't go without his troubles. He didn't go without his problems. He didn't go without his attacks. Just like you and I don't go this day without our problems. We don't go without our attacks. There's always somebody trying to tear us down. There's trouble on every hand.
Amen.
Amen. And the book of Job said, man is full of trouble just a few days. Amen. And full of trouble. And trouble follows us around. Just like it did the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm fixing to go to Jerusalem. I have no idea what I'm going to face when I get there. I've been beaten over here. I've been shipwrecked out there. And let's go to chapter 28 and get shipwrecked again. But he says, I have no idea what to face me, but I do know this. That the Lord Jesus Christ is with me every step of the way. And I'm going in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm taking him with me no matter what happens. I'm going to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. What did he say? That because God has given the ministry to preach the good news, that souls went dying go to hell, so they had a hell of a gang when they left this world.
Amen.
Tell you, the Apostle Paul says, going in, I have no idea what will fall me there. Save the Holy Ghost. Amen. Going with me, saying that my bonds and affliction abide me. Then I want to get to my message this morning, verse 24. The Apostle Paul is trying to encourage them, and he says, all these things have happened to me, and I'm going to Jerusalem. I have no idea what's going to happen to me there, but none of these things moved me. That got my attention. None of these things. What things was he talking about? We'll go back to verse number 23. It says, my bonds and my afflictions.
Yeah.
Now listen, there's some things that the Apostle Paul went through. I don't have time to preach all that this morning. Man. But he was in bonds. He was in prison several times. He was beaten. Amen. Now a lot of things had happened to the Apostle Paul. And he said, but none of these things had moved me. It had got me out of ministry. God empowered me to do a work. And he said, I keep on for the cause of Christ. I haven't give up. Those things didn't take me out. Those people that lied on me didn't take me out. They didn't cause me to sit down and quit. My problems didn't cause me to quit. Those enemies of God that caused me to flee, they lied on him, and he said they were, but they lied on me, and they did that. The Apostle Paul said, no, these things have moved me.
Amen.
I want to preach this lesson this morning. Be not moved away.
Amen.
Talk to you on Sunday 2023. Be not moved away. Stay with me, I'll try to help you. Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to say to you this morning, if you're saved by the good grace of God, that every one of us has ministry.
Amen.
And that ministry is just, we're not all preachers, we're not all evangelists, but we still have the same ministry, which is to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Everybody has that ministry. Amen.
Amen.
No matter who you are or where you go, what you do, that is your ministry to carry forth the grace of the gospel of God. How do I do that? I do that by the way I live. I do that by the way I speak. I do that by the places I go and the things that I do and the people I hang around. And not only by the words that come out of my mouth, but my actions and my attitudes, I carry forth the ministry of the grace of God.
Amen.
Understand me this morning, you and I are saved by the grace of God. We are a walking miracle.
Amen.
Amen. We are a picture of the grace of God. Amen. Somebody help me.
Amen.
We are a picture of the grace of God. We walk before them. We are the Bible before them. That's one of God's children. Amen. That's one of God's children. How do you know that? Because the grace of God is on them. The Spirit of God is on them. How do you know that? Because of the way they're acting, the things they're not participating in, the things they're not saying. Amen. That's the grace of God bestowing itself upon them. And you can see that, amen, as we go about everyday life.
Amen.
Have a ministry. Say real quick, I've got some brains, three things I've written real quick, not separate from. And I'm going to give you two things that what causes us to say. All right? First of all, let's not be moved from soul. Amen. Let's not be moved from soul. It is vitally important in our day that the lost hear the good news of the gospel. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is coming in a moment.
Yeah.
Amen. We've studied the Bible. We've studied Daniel. We've studied Revelation. We've studied Isaiah and other passages in the Scripture. And we know that the next major event in God's timeline is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from the church. Amen. And that's our blessed hope. And we shout and we rejoice that Jesus is coming. Amen. But we must be busy because there's a work to do. And there's souls that's going to miss that. We don't share the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. And there's so many that has moved from that. They have quit not on those. They quit inviting folks to church. I'm thankful for our visitors this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord for visitors. You're welcome at Midway Baptist Church anytime. Amen. And thank them for coming before this day is over. Make a point to shake their hand and put them in the headlock until they can't leave. Amen. But you have visitors. I thank the Lord for that. Listen, there's so many that quit knocking on doors and quit inviting folks to church. And they quit being concerned about the lost soul that's dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, "Then ye enter the straight gate, for the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there." There's many on the road to hell. Yeah, one of these highways and interstates. I was going down the interstate the other day, and I'm telling you, there's so many people at 5 o'clock in the morning, where in the world are they going? Amen. You couldn't stir them with a stick. It was bumper to bumper, four lane traffic going this way, that way. And I couldn't help but think for all of this away. I wonder how many of us going to a devil's hell.
Yeah.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That don't bother so wrong with you. Amen. It bothers me to know that there's so many people that's on the wrong way and they're going to hell and not dead.
Yeah.
Worst thing about it is some of God's people is give up on that and they don't care.
Yeah.
Let's not move away from Jesus answered some of them, go your way, tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the dead hear, the dead are raised, to the poor, the gospel is preached. You know what Jesus said? Go tell them what Jesus did. Amen. That's what we ought to be doing about our everyday. Go tell them what Jesus did. How was your dead church yesterday? That preacher preached from the pulpit with the Word of God, and God's Word pierced my heart. It done stuff before. Amen. Go tell us what Jesus did.
Amen.
You know what people, you know why people come to the church? You know why it entices people to do what they do? Because somebody tells them about how it went. Somebody tells them how exciting it was. They go to the ball team to watch the ball games because they have their favorite player. And somebody tells them how good that player is doing. They want to go see that. When Jesus Christ is the best, amen. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We'll be coming around here so they want to come to the city. We're all that's about. Who's that Jesus you're talking about? Let me introduce you to him. He'll change your life. I didn't know him,
amen. Amen.
He will change your life.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says in Matthew 16:26, what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And they're giving their lives. Amen. They're giving everything that they can give. Their very life, they're giving it away. Sacrifices for the pleasures of this world and the entertainment of this world and the things of this world, and they're being deceived by the devil and they're deceived by false prophets and all these liars that come about and they're falling at them and their souls are in danger. What would he give in exchange for his soul? What would he give his soul for entertainment and preaching that wouldn't preach the gospel? And I have there's many out there like offend them. Amen. I'd rather offend somebody with the gospel than to not tell them when they not hear it and they die and go to hell.
Yeah.
I'd rather tell them.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like that stuff. You offend me. Good. If I offended you, then that means I've done my job. By explaining the gospel to you. And if you're offended at the gospel, you're not offended at me, you're offended at God. Amen.
Amen.
I don't give any of that to you. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, he said, I've been going into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. I want us to understand that there's some things we are not to do, should not be moved away from. And Paul said, these things, none of these things, moved me, neither can I my life dear to myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And there's joy in heaven. Amen. There's joy over one soul that says Jesus Christ. That's
amen.
There's joy. Amen. Let's not move away from it. I gotta hurry. Let's not move away from our separation. Verse 29, look with me. For I know this, that after my departure, shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock, and also your own selves shall be in the rise, seeking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, day and night with tears. Apostle Paul said, you hear me? Hear me, wait. There's going to be some that come preaching another Jesus. They're going to preach a false Christ. They're going to talk about a false spirit. Amen. There's going to be that crap. They said, the Apostle Paul said, hey, and listen to this, that they have a son that rises up among you, that he teaches heresy, that's telling lies, that's twisting the word of God, that fainting off his house, have I not, by the space of 3 years, ceased to warn everyone day and night with tears, don't you dare let those wolves in and destroy the flock. Amen. As your pastor in 2023, I encourage you as a church to separate from heresy. Separate from the false doctrine. Don't you let a wolf come in here and destroy the flock. Amen. We need to be separate from the world and separate from heresy, separate from the contemporary movement, separate from the modern versions of the textual criticism garments that they call the Bible. We need to separate ourselves.
Amen.
Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. What's an unclean thing? Boy, that's a good question. Let me just go ahead and say it's a false text. Amen. It's unclean.
Amen.
Beware of false prophets which come to you as sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. For false Christ and false prophet shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. They'll come in with all these miraculous things, give you all this miraculous stuff, but if it doesn't line up with the Bible, you separate them.
Amen.
Amen. I believe not every spirit, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits for whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. We're living in a world of false doctrine, false prophets. It is the spirit of Antichrist. We're warned about all throughout the Word of God. Peter says, John says, Paul says, everybody, and listen, they tell us, listen, be careful, because there's a crowd that brings about this false teaching that they will deceive you. What did the Bible say? What did Peter say about the devil? He's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he devours it by giving them some false truth, some false hope. I'm glad I've got the truth, amen. I've got the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, don't you allow that in them. Don't accept that. Separate yourself from it.
Amen.
Don't grow up with that crowd that does, amen. Oh, not be moved from separation. I'm not giving up the music. I preached that the other night. I'm not giving up the music, amen. I'm not going to contemporary. That message of the devil is of the blessings of the world. I'm not going to hear it.
Amen.
Preacher, you're just dogmatic.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not doing that. That's this word.
Yeah.
Sensual. The Bible warns us about those things. Stay away from that. Amen. Separation. I'm not going to preach on that, but I'm going to move on. The next thing, Lord, heaven's always going to come. Don't be moved from not only someone in the separation, but most of all, don't be moved from sound doctrine. Look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Whatever you do, whether I'm here or whether I'm going, amen, don't be moved away from saying doctrine. Know the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. And stand on that which is true. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But you know what they said in Jeremiah's day? They said, we will not walk therein. Look what happened in his day. I'm telling you, the world fell apart. Troubles on every hand and all kinds of stuff that took place in Jeremiah's day. I'm not trying to preach all that either. But that Jeremiah has encouraged the people of God to seek out the old paths, stand in the way, being asked for that, the first thing you pray, walk therein. And the blessing of that is that you shall find rest for your souls.
Amen.
Amen. I go to bed at night and lay down, you know what I do? I sleep.
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's what I'm doing. We all do that. No, huh. I mean, I rest. I sleep.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Why is it? Because I've got rest from the soul. I'm worried about this. I have no control over my life. I have no control over Israel. I have no control over Iran or Iraq. Yeah. I have no control over Hamas or Hamas or however you want to say that. The Muslims. I have no control. You have no control over
no.
I know the one that does.
Amen.
Amen. And I lay my head down and I rest. Yeah. Then I'm not worried about what's happening. God's got under control. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for time will come when they will not hear sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Know your doctrine, man, and be settled. Don't move away from sound doctrine. Don't accept some heresy. Don't accept some false truth. But stand on the word of God. Amen. Speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, but that the aged men be sober, be grave, be temperate, to sound in faith and charity and patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much lying, teachers of good things, and that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Amen.
Makes a difference how we live.
Yeah.
Amen. It makes a difference. And listen, Paul said, all these things have come against me. I've had troubles. I've been in prison. I've been shipwrecked. I've had all this accusations made against me. I've had all this hatred toward me. None of those things moved me. What comes? Well, we're having a great party on Sunday night. We're going to come over. Peer pressure. I don't want to offend my friends. I don't want to offend my family. I'll just get what have we done with the sin of ourselves again? What causes us to be moved? Peer pressure. Those that were around. And then they influence us and they encourage us to do those things that are not well pleasing to the Lord. Because most of the time they're either lost and don't know the Lord, or they're saved and they're so far away from God, they don't have fellowship with God, and they encourage us to participate in their sin. Peer pressure. Causes us to be moved. Hang in there, I'm almost done. What causes us to be moved? Number two is pride. Pride causes us to be moved. Well, I've been accused of this. I can't stand from everybody because somebody accused me of something. I can't go to church because I've been accused of such and such or this or that. You know what that is? It's pride. You know how many times I've been accused of something? I don't even want this to have been accused of. I probably didn't tell you how many times I've been accused of stuff. And you ever said been accused of something you didn't do? Hands up all that. You know what stops us from coming around God's people? It's not the accusation. Amen. Right. Well, I'm supposed to be a church member and a godly person. And I'm not supposed to have anything like that said about me. Excuse me, tell me for it's not the reason why you always have accusations against us. Amen. Joseph had accusations against him. The woman stole his coat and lied like a dog on him. Joseph. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Pride is moving. Here's what the Bible says about pride. Psalms 13, verse 11, let not the foot of pride come against me. The psalmist was great. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way of the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 8:15. Proverbs 11:2, watch us when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride can move us. lost my job. I can't afford to give any money, so I won't go to church. You know, that is a sprout. God's people come together because we love each other, amen? And we worship together. We're a member of a church. We're a membership. We join the church to be a joint body with Jesus Christ, amen? And when something happens within that membership, the Apostle Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians. When something happens to one member, we all suffer.
No.
Amen? And if something happens in your life, you can and you share that with your church members, with your family. You don't have to go into detail and say, well, something that's happened is not so. It's come against me. It's, you know what happens? We gather around, we begin to pray together, amen, and we get through that together.
Amen.
Right. So listen, even in the house of God, even in the churches, there's so many that are so full of pride. I don't want anybody to know. I don't want them to think this about me. And the mind is a very powerful thing.
Amen.
It's very powerful thing. You can make yourself sick. Amen. You can make yourself healthy too. You can think that you're a great name when you're a chihuahua. I've had all of that. The mind is a very powerful thing. You can sit on and you can ponder on stuff and you can imagine what people would say and imagine what people would think. Whenever the whole time, that's just your mind running away from you. And the Bible instructs us to bring into captivity every imagination. Amen? Mm-hmm. Bring into captivity. Don't let your mind run away from you. Because if pride gets involved, and then if you're not careful, listen, I'm trying to give us a warning. If we're not careful, we'll let some peer pressure and we'll let pride move us from where we are with God in the ministry. Quickly, I give this three, four more things. Persecution. The Bible says in newsflash, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, all the men of God in Christ Jesus shall be suffered with persecution. If you think everybody's going to pat you on the back of your neck, you're delusional. Amen. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to have enemies and you're going to suffer persecution. Prepare yourself. Nowhere in the Word of God, whenever God saved me, Jesus said, this is a cakewalk. God made you a rose garden and all you have to do is walk through it. This doesn't work that way. Amen. Everybody that is saved, the Scripture says you're going to suffer persecution. Everybody's not going to like you. Somebody's going to have something negative to say about you and say to you because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said they're going to hate you because they hate me. Persecution, though, can move you from where you are. Prosperity. There's been many people that has suffered financially, and then all of a sudden they come into a windfall. Prosperity. They begin to have everything they need, and all the bills are paid, and they have money to burn, and the next thing you know, they're doing something about the Lord. I have literally watched people. I'm not going to linger on this, but I've literally watched people. God bless them abundantly. And they just hand them out all, most of all their life. And God bless them abundantly. Give them a good job. I mean, turn around, but you would not even recognize them. How God blessed them, and that they left the church. They got so entangled in the pride and the things of this world, and they turned from God. And I've watched it disappear.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Just because we have lots of money, don't mean we ain't gonna have our problems.
That's right.
Matter of fact, lots of money usually brings more problems with us.
Yeah.
But prosperity can move us. Problems can move us. We have no problems. Because we're saved, just born again, children of God, doesn't mean we don't have problems. We're not exempt from problems.
Yeah.
It's how we deal with those problems that makes the difference in our ministry. It makes the difference in how we live godly in this present world, but how we handle our problems. That's why God has given the church to pastors and evangelists and teachers. Amen. To encourage the church, to lift up the church. Amen. That we don't get all burdened down with our problems. Cast all your care upon him, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care upon him because he cares. Quit trying to carry your problems and deal with them yourself. Let God in.
Amen.
Good stuff right there, ain't it? Last one I'm going to quit with this. What loses? Spirit pressure? Pride, persecution, prosperity, problems. Last but not least, hold on. Pleasures. Pleasures will move us from where we are to where we should not be. Well, preacher, what do you mean by pleasures? I'm talking about some people who get so wrapped up in the pleasures of this world, they forsake God. I've said this before, you ride down the road, it's nothing to see RVs and campers, I mean everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Riding going down the road on Saturday, coming back on Monday. What's wrong with going to the lake? What's wrong with paying nothing on this? They have nothing wrong with going somewhere and camping out. They have nothing wrong with going to the beach, going to the go wherever you want to go. Well, the problem lies in that we take the pleasures over God, leaving God out of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't move it. Amen. I know some guys are really big on hunting and fishing and stuff like that, and that's a pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with hunting. I love the fish. I ain't been fishing for long. I don't even know what a fish looks like, except for one of them white fish. Pretending just to drop a line and see if I could hook one of them. There's nothing wrong with those things, but if I let those things take away from the house of God, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
And it'll move me. Because that'll be my focus to the God. And the things of God. Amen? Everybody with us? I want to share this message with you just to be an encouragement on this Sunday morning, Homecoming Sunday. Be not moved. Don't let these things cause you to be separate from the house of God, from the Word of God, and from the fellowship. Sin in the life of the believer. When we have sin in our life and in our heart, when we disobey God, we lose fellowship. We don't lose our salvation because we're not saved by what we do, we're saved by what we believe.
Amen.
But when we sin and we don't confess that sin, we lose fellowship. When we lose fellowship, we start taking other things in place of us. And we don't even have a good time. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel better. We'll hang out with him because I feel good when I'm around him. And we lose that fellowship if you're not careful. If you're not careful. Pleasures and the sinful things of this world go away. 1 John 1:9 says in the Bible, we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We have our problems, we make our mistakes. We're not without failure. We're not without fault. God never said you'd be faultless. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, gives the hall of faith. Amen. It talks about all those in the scripture that had faith and how they trusted God. But you go back and read your Bible, every one of them had their faults and failures. God didn't use them then. So they had faith. Jesus comes, the scripture says, will he find faith? The Son of Man coming, will he find faith? When he comes. Faith in what? Faith in his word. Amen. Listen, you and I know, as we look around, in the days we're living, there's so many that have been moved away. They forsook the house of God 2 years ago, COVID hit, so many people quit going, and many have not come back. There's even churches that have shut their doors. Apostle Paul said, all these things, all these afflictions, all my bonds, none of these things will be. I still declare the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you do that? So I can rejoice when I finish my course.
Amen.
I'll finish with joy. Don't be moved away.